Hello, I'm John Ellis, and welcome to episode 80 of Pataudry PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast, featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors. And not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Andrew Shiney and Dave McDermott. So here we are, recording this episode in the morning of Tuesday, May 2nd, 2023, with no first team game to look back on as such, because as you know, we withdrew early from the Cup this year in order to focus on the successful restoration of our league campaign. But unlike last week, when we recorded the show, we do at least know now the scheduling of the remaining games for the season. And the first of those, as predicted, who could have seen this coming? Rangers at Ibrox. I'm a seer. So let's preview that one in just a moment. But first, we have to start with the news made public yesterday, with Barry Robson and Steve Agnew confirming their positions for a further 2 years until at least the end of the 24-25 season. Dave, you've been openly calling for this one for some time, so we'll come to you first. You'll be delighted with this one. And if Barry had any critics left to win over, he must have brought them on side with that victory over Rangers.
Yeah, I think it's one that's been almost 100% well received by everybody connected to Aberdeen Football Club. And yeah, I'm delighted for Barry. I think it's the right move. To be honest, if he had been appointed manager, he'd have been somewhere else. There's plenty of clubs in the Premier League looking for managers just now. So it was the right decision. Delighted for him, and a great piece of business by the board. I mean, it's funny how, you know, he's been there all that time and been through all the training of working his way up through the under-18s, etc. And he's learned a lot from those he's worked with. He's a football guy through and through, and I think it's absolutely the right decision, and hopefully good times lie ahead.
Hopefully. It's one of those, Andrew, we've commented before now about the importance of having Steve Agnew on board for this run, a huge wealth of experience and constantly in Barry's ear during the game. You and I have a sort of bird's eye view of it. He's a big part of this deal, isn't he?
I'd certainly say so. I thought it was a very shrewd move from Barry, first off, as soon as he was made interim manager, that he brought Steve in. An appointment completely out of the blue for many Aberdeen fans, that they were all straight onto Google, who's this guy Steve Agnew? And then when you do a week, you don't have to do much searching, you find that this is a football guy through and through. He's been at a lot of big clubs. He's worked under a lot of big managers. He's worked with a lot of very, very good players, including Barry Robson. And I think, you know, the two of them seem to dovetail together so well. He looks to be a very calm presence, but you look at Barry on the touchline, he's not the firebrand that we thought he might be. I've seen him a hell of a lot worse, I can tell you, under 18 games down the years. I think the two of them work very, very well, hand in glove. And yeah, a very important addition to the coaching team. Interesting that there's been no word as yet about Liam Fox, because he's come in just in the last few weeks, obviously playing a part. And I'd like to think that there'll still be a role for him at Pataudry, because it's the classic case of it ain't broken, so why try and mend it? Because they've been going so well in the last seven games, seven victories. You know, they've only conceded one goal, and that was a penalty down at Dundee United. So they've conceded nothing from open play in seven games. You cast your mind back to that horrendous afternoon at Easter Road.
Must I?
Where they conceded six, and it could have been so many more. It's been an incredible turnaround. And somebody said, had it been a longer spell that Barry had been in charge, he'd have been right up there for manager of the year. Such as the incredible transformation that he's produced at Pataudry. But no, I'd agree with Dave. Barry's football through and through, soaks up knowledge, always on the hunt for, you know, new ideas. But he has his own firm ideas of how things should be done. First thing is, you've got to work your socks off, because he had to do that to get anywhere in his career. I mean, he started down at Rangers as a youth team player. You would have thought that he could have gone on there, but for whatever reason, it didn't work out there. And he had to go back up and pay his dues all over again. Played at Inverness, Cali Thistle, had a loan spell at Forfar. And, you know, Barry was 29 before he went to the Celtic. So it wasn't, you know, instant riches for him. He had to work very, very hard to get to where he's at. And that's what he demands of his players. And the most important thing is, that's what he's getting from his players. And that's why the future looks so bright.
I think one of the things there you mentioned, you know, about the relationship with Steve Agnew, one of the things that I quite like about them is they're both content to let the players take the plaudits. There's no sign of Barry or Steve Agnew on that pitch if there's a win. They just go about their business, they let the players go and take the adulation, and they're happy for that to be the case. Just take the 3 points, move on to the next game. A right time to do it, Dave. I mean, the recruitment process can have a continuity now through the summer, and also the players already at the club can settle knowing they've got that continuity too.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I've been saying for the last few weeks. It would make sense on the face of it to have the management team in place for next year, because it does mean that they can plan. Obviously, the recruitment process is going on anyway, but players that the club are maybe interested in will be wanting to know who's going to be in charge. Now, at least they do, and vice versa, because the manager and Steve will have a big input into players that come on board. So no, I think the timing's very good, and it's a wee fill-up ahead of the 5 big games for the club starting on Sunday.
Yeah, safe to say this appointment has a Pittodrie PS endorsement, which I'm sure will be the ultimate seal of approval Dave Cormack and the board were holding out for. So let's get on to what will officially be Barry's first game as manager. Rangers at Ibrox could be a baptism of fire. Naturally, they're going to be hurting from the result at Pittodrie, and possibly more so by the fact they're now going to end the season trophyless and looking to make amends for that as quickly as humanly possible. But I wonder, Andrew, will the nature of the game be all that different? I mean, they had a lot of possession at Pittodrie, especially in that first half. They just didn't convert their chances. And now the bottom's fallen out of the season completely. Might there be a downing of tools?
I think you've seen a downing of tools by a number of players in Rangers blue over the last few weeks. There's one or two that, to be perfectly honest, if I was Michael Beale, I'd be saying, thanks for your efforts, boys, but away you go. What's the point of playing them for the last 5 games? As you say, the season is done for them. If Celtic beat Hearts, as is expected, that's the league title wrapped up. They're out of the Scottish Cup. They've got nothing else to play for. They've got players there who clearly won't be in Michael Beale's plans for next season. I think he's going to start his rebuilding as of Sunday. So it will be very interesting to see who plays for Rangers. But regardless of who it turns out, it will still be a tough game for Aberdeen. I think you would expect Rangers to have the bulk of possession, but Aberdeen having the confidence of that victory a week ago will go into this one fancying their chances, not trumpeting it from the rooftops, oh, we're going to go and do this, that, and the next thing to Rangers, but going there knowing that last time that the two sides met, Aberdeen came out on top, and there's no reason why they couldn't do that once again. And Angus McDonald signing on for another 2 years, that's a great boost for everybody, because he has been a rock around whom the defence has solidified, really. Liam Scales outstanding against Rangers. Matty Pollock, who's been excellent every game that he's played for Aberdeen. That's the basis that Aberdeen can build from. So if they keep the back door shut, no reason to think that Duke and Bojan won't find the back of the net at the other end. So I strongly fancy Aberdeen to, at the very worst, get a draw out of the game on Sunday.
Yeah, Michael Beeling. Now, let's just, it seems like you brought up the defence. A lot of the comments that I've seen online talking about, you know, Barry being appointed, they say, right, okay, now get the defence sorted out for next season. We haven't conceded a goal. Let's get a signature from Matty Pollock. Let's get a signature from Liam Scales. You've got Angus' signature already, Dave. Do you see us being able to persuade the other two, or their clubs for that matter?
We've mentioned it before that Scales is way down pecking order at Celtic. So I think that one might go ahead. Who knows? Matty Pollock, he's also, I mean, Ryan Fortis has helped a wee bit because he's ahead of Pollock, but Watford will be well aware of the performances and they'll fad Matty Pollock watch when he's been up with Aberdeen. So it may be that they see him as being an integral part of their first team squad, because he did play for the first team this current season before he came up to Aberdeen. So that's one that I'd be delighted if it happened, but I'm not sure. The plus thing for Aberdeen is he is really, really happy playing up here in the northeast of Scotland. So who knows? It'd be great if we could have all three of them. We've got McDonald already. It'd be great if we could add Scales and Pollock, but I just have my doubts, and I think we'll be very lucky to get all three, but who knows?
Mm. Yeah, he's very happy up here, and not for the first time I'm thinking, thank goodness we've had a mild winter. Will Barry's approach be different for the Rangers game down there, Dave? I mean, will he still send out his team to hunt down that ball in packs, that high press that pays off so well at home?
Probably not quite as much as he did at home. I learned from his visit to Celtic Park when his first game, if I remember rightly, in charge. But what he will have done is, as Andrew mentioned, we've got the confidence of beating them just a couple of weeks ago. They'll be down after their cup exit. And we saw again on Sunday what a shambles of defence Rangers have, you know, when they manage to gift goals away time after time. So that's one thing that Aberdeen lately have not been accused, can't be accused of, and that is switching off at the wrong moment. So I think he'll fancy his chances down at Ibrox. Whether he's quite as gung-ho, I don't think we'll go back to the Jimmy Calderwood days of everybody up in Atom, but people was going good. No, I think, you know, like Andrew, I quite fancy our chances on Sunday.
Do you think Rangers will do anything different, Andrew? I mean, you said earlier there's a lot of players that are down tools, so presumably they could take other players that are available in. Will they make any significant changes in their lineup, though, do you think?
Well, that is the $64 million question, isn't it? Will Morelos play because Cholak's still injured, I believe? Or does he bring in somebody from further down the academy route? We don't know. I think because it's Aberdeen, Rangers will probably keep the changes to a minimum, because it's bad enough that they've lost Aberdeen once up at Pittodrie and then lost to Celtic. They certainly don't want to be losing three in a row, and not two of these three being to Aberdeen, because whatever you say about it, the two clubs don't get on, particularly out in the pitch. Off the pitch, there seems to be a reasonable respect for each other, but on the pitch, it's an absolute battle. I'll be interested, I'd actually like to see the likes of Kent and Morelos playing, because they're just not interested. So that's, you're two men down straight away. You're then playing against nine. It will be an interesting one, certainly. Rangers, their season has just imploded, and now there's this vast rebuilding job that Michael Beale's talking about, and everything that you're seeing, it looks to be basement bargain shopping that he's going for. I don't know what kind of side they're going to have together for next season. I think we are in a stronger position than Rangers are.
Well, it's interesting because they've made a switch at the very top. They've changed out their managing director in the last little while. And I'm just thinking there, I mean, when you're in the sort of pressure cooker that is Rangers or Celtic, losing three games in a row at any point in any season is almost unforgivable. And you're talking about Michael Beale saying, you know, there's going to be this massive rebuilding ahead of next season. If he loses a third or possibly a fourth game in a row, there's a real chance, Dave, isn't there, that he might not actually be the guy that gets to make the rebuilding.
Yeah, which, I mean, from his point of view, I think it would be only fair to allow him that time. But, say, football fans, as we know, are very fickle. And the Rangers fans are already not the happiest, because obviously with them losing to Celtic every time they play does not go down particularly well. So, yeah, there is a chance. I do think that it would be absolutely stupid to change a manager at this point in time, because there is such a big rebuilding job, which there will be at Pittodrie as well, remember. So it's, you know, two clubs that are in similar state of flux in terms of what needs to happen between now and the start of next season. But as Andrew said, Aberdeen are a better place than Rangers right at this moment in time.
Okay, time for a score predictor then. Rangers versus Aberdeen, off the back of that optimistic paragraph, Dave.
1-0 the Dons.
And Andrew?
I said I'd settle for a draw, but I just have a wee sneaking suspicion we might just nick this one. I'll go with 2-1. Rangers will get a penalty. It will be another non-goal from open play against Aberdeen. Rangers are bound to get a penalty. They've gone two games without one, for goodness sake. So it's high time they got a penalty.
Well, I'll take us for a 2-2 draw. I'm going to caution it slightly, but I would love to see us win, but I don't know if we will. Let's move on to the under-18s next. Very uncharacteristic back-to-back defeats against Dundee United, Hearts and Hamilton. More than a bit of a slump. And we said last week, Andrew, they could still be involved in the league title, but they'd have to do something against Rangers. How did that go?
Well, unfortunately, they went down 3-0, but it doesn't tell the whole story of the game. I spoke to Stuart Duff about it, and he said that they created some great chances first half, but just couldn't convert. And he said to them, he said, look, this could come back and bite you, because in this type of game, you have got to take your chances. And as it turned out, Stuart's prediction was spot on. Rangers got a couple of early goals in the second half, got one late on. The 3-0 scoreline kind of flattered them a little bit, but it does mean that Aberdeen have now lost four in the spin, and they currently sit in the table in second place, but 4 points behind Hamilton Accies, who have drawn both their last two games themselves, but they have a 4-point advantage at the top of the table. So it's changed around a bit. It's tightened up quite a fair bit, because there's three clubs on 44 points immediately behind Aberdeen. That's Motherwell, Rangers and Celtic. So still a few games to go this season. And I think Motherwell could end up being the kingmakers here, because Aberdeen have got to play them twice. They have to play Hamilton twice. So depending on the results of these games, there could be a bit of a swing one way or the other. The Dons just need to get themselves back onto winning ways. They're at Hearts this afternoon at Orium. That'll be a tough one, because Hearts B team have finished their Lowland League campaign. So any of these boys that are still eligible to play for under-18s, you would imagine would feature in the lineup. But on the plus side for Aberdeen, the front pairing of Liam Harvey and Alfie Bavage should be reunited this afternoon. And we know when they click, Aberdeen score goals. And that's what they haven't been doing in recent games, is getting the goals that you feel that are in the team. And so it would be nice to see one or other of them back on the score sheet today, and the Dons getting back to winning ways ahead of playing one of their double header against Motherwell down the road at DL on Friday afternoon.
Do you see that Hamilton have to play Motherwell twice as well?
Yeah, they do, and they've still to play Celtic. And yeah. There's a lot of games that can go either way. I mean, we're going to talk about scenarios in the championship.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get my head around, but it's starting to get a little bit that way in the under-18s league. And the thing with under-18s is there's inconsistencies can pop up at any time for any match whatsoever. Any match. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I wouldn't say that there's no hope of the Dons winning the table. There's less hope than there was 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, but I'm thinking if it comes down to it, Andrew, and Motherwell have, let's just say they can't win all the games, but they've got Hamilton and Aberdeen on their sides. Do you think a local derby against Hamilton is going to...
It might fire them up a wee bit.
Yeah.
I'll certainly get Mr. Burrows to get in touch with his friends down at Firth Park and say, come on, boys. Never mind Aberdeen. They're nothing. But get wired into that Hamilton mob.
Exactly. Get wired into those Accies. To Aberdeen women fighting their own battle against relegation, where a recent upturn of fortune has made things significantly more comfortable, but not to the point where they could take the foot off the gas completely. Following their most recent victory against Dundee United, the Dons' next game was against Motherwell on Sunday. It ended 2-0 for the visitors. Quite unfortunate, because they looked good in spells, the Dons.
Yeah, they did. Motherwell, of course, they're heading the bottom six in the table. It was a good performance. But again, we've talked about it already this morning, not taking your chances. And that's what Aberdeen failed to do. They had chances, didn't take them. Motherwell, on the other hand, did, and they ran out 2-0 winners. And they're not quite there yet, Aberdeen, in terms of Glasgow. They're now relegated officially, which is no surprise given they're with no points at the moment. They're staging the scene.
Yes, unsurprising, really, given that position. Next one is against Glasgow Women at home tomorrow night, and then Spartans away on Sunday. I mean, obviously, we want the Dons to do well in every game, Dave, but if they get a win against Glasgow Women, essentially they've done enough, have they?
I think so. It would be a surprise if they didn't get the win. I mean, a team without any points. To be fair, the Glasgow Women have had quite a lot of close calls and close scorelines, but they just haven't managed to get that win. They know they're going to be playing in the league below next season, so you would hope that, again, with home advantage, that the Dons can get a win. If they do get that, then they can go down and almost have a free hit at Spartans, who will start that game, I think, as favourites. But there's no, you know, the games between the two are always very close, and there's no saying that Aberdeen won't get something out of that one as well.
Okay, Cove Rangers next. Anything about this following paragraph could be wrong. Attempting now, well, actually, I was going to say attempting now at best to try and secure their championship status by reaching and winning a playoff against a team from League One. However, I don't think that's the case, not necessarily. At first, they have to avoid automatic relegation themselves. And that journey continued on Friday night when they faced league leaders Dundee at Dens. It ended in a 0-0 draw, which had they got it at any other point in the season, we'd probably be quite pleased with, Dave. But would you reckon this is too little too late?
No, I don't. I think it was a great... I watched the game and I thought it was a great performance. I thought Mark Reynolds was absolutely outstanding in the defence for Cove. And they had a game plan which was not to entertain the punters. It certainly wasn't entertaining from that point of view, from a spectator point of view, but they got the job done. They were there to frustrate Dundee. I messaged Andrew in the first half saying, Dundee don't look as though they want to win this game because their attack was so poor. You know, the chances that they got were half chances, and they didn't look as though there was any confidence in that team. So I thought it was a great performance from Cove. It's given them a real, real fighting chance of staying up in the championship.
Yeah, I mean, you did say a few weeks back when Cove, again, were at Dens in a rescheduled game, that Dundee have this thing of blowing hot and cold. On that occasion, they won 3-0, which presumably was hot, and maybe in this time around it was cold. Arbroath played Partick on the Saturday afternoon and went down 2-0. Hamilton didn't have a game this weekend, so, and here we go. As things stand, everyone's played 35 matches, with Arbroath third bottom on 33 points, Cove on 31, and Hamilton on 30. The next round of fixtures is on Friday evening when Arbroath meet Hamilton and Cove are at home to Morton, where this is where I should probably stop talking, but I tried to figure this out yesterday. So let me get through this sentence and then, Andrew, you can just correct me. I thought the best case scenario for Cove, from what I can tell, is they win and Hamilton do as well, meaning Cove retain their spot in the championship. Hamilton would be in the playoff spot, and that's not right. And Arbroath would be automatically relegated. Second favourite would be a Cove win or draw, and Arbroath win or draw, which would mean Cove would be in the playoff spot. It's officially the most squeaky bum time of the lot. That much is certain. Simply put, Cove have to win, I think, to at least guarantee a playoff, and it might actually get better than that. I think that's right. Is it, Dave, or maybe we should ask Stato?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, if Hamilton lose, then irrespective of what Cove do on Friday night, they will at least be in the playoffs.
So the first thing we have to hope for is that Hamilton lose.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew has he's been working his Stato socks off, trying to work various permutations.
That's not the best case scenario, is it, Andrew? I mean, there is a way here that Cove could actually avoid even the playoff.
Yeah, they could, because if they beat Morton, they'd go into 34 points.
Right.
If Hamilton beat Arbroath, they'd go to 33 points, which matches Arbroath, but they will have an inferior goal difference. So that would mean that Cove would finish eighth, Arbroath would finish in the playoff place, and despite beating Arbroath, Hamilton would be relegated.
Okay.
So the bottom line is, for Cove, they've got to go and try and win this game against Morton. If they win the game against Morton, then at the very worst, they're going to be in a playoff. At the best, they're going to be finishing eighth place.
Just unfortunate, Morton are still very much in it.
That's the thing. You're looking at
that. Although the Rovers with nothing to play for, I'm afraid.
Yeah. You're looking at the other end of the table, and there are second to sixth. You've got five teams there who all have chances of getting into the playoffs. And it's, I mean, from a neutral's point of view, it's absolutely
great.
Perfect.
Yeah.
As Dave said, Wraith are the only side that have got nothing to play for. But they're at home to Partick Thistle, and Thistle could get, if they win, they could finish in the playoff. Well, they're in the playoff spots at the moment, but they could lose that if they were to lose to Wraith Rovers and Inverness and Morton both win. So there's so much still to be played for. If you could sit down now and absolutely correctly predict the results of the five games that are going to be played in the Championship this weekend or on Friday night, you would make an absolute fortune.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you the what would happen with the cold permutation, never mind what the five results are going to be on Friday night. I assume that's going ahead on Friday night because the coronation's on a Saturday, by the way.
Well, I think probably because Queen's Park and Dundee is being televised live, in fairness to everybody else, because there's so much at stake,
right,
they play all the fixtures on right. the same day at the Good. Same time.
Yeah. Because the Premier League games, the Premiership games are going ahead Premier Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's very much to not to give anybody an unfair advantage.
All right, and of course, fortunes look at a sort of thin ice prospect at best. Peterheads are officially falling in the sub-zero water below, having cracked the surface. Time of matches run out this weekend when they travelled to face Kelty Hearts. That one finished 2-1 to Kelty. Clyde didn't gain any further ground, losing 2-1 to champions Dunfermline, but with one game left to play against Falkirk, as Clyde bow out against Montrose, Peterhead's doom is officially sealed. They're 5 points adrift. They just haven't shown enough at any point in the season to be honest at any point, really, have they, Andrew?
No, we've desperately tried to make a case for Peterhead for month upon month, but when you go into your 42nd game of the season and you've only won 3 of the previous 41, it's very difficult to make a case that Peterhead have been unlucky. They just haven't won anything like enough games. They've been constantly chopping and changing their team. The only good thing that's come out of this is that Ryan Strachan and Jordan Brown have been confirmed as managers, joint managers for the season ahead. So they can now start their pre-planning for life in League Two next season. And that won't be easy to get out of, but there's enough experience in that management duo. Plus, it'll be interesting to see what sort of route they go down, whether they're more locally based, because Peterhead have had so many players from all over the country playing for them over the last few years, primarily because Jim McAnally's, you know, his contact list didn't really extend much further north than the Central Belt. But whether Jordan and Ryan have got enough contacts in the Highland League, for example, to go and raid some of the more successful clubs there and try and persuade them to come and play senior football remains to be seen. But no, this season was just a write-off. I think right from the start, you know, losing the 4 League Cup ties without scoring a goal, then losing in the Challenge Cup to Elgin City without scoring a goal, the loss in the Scottish Cup at the first time of asking without scoring a goal. Lack of goals has been a big, big problem, but lack of consistency in both team selection and team performance has cost Peterhead dear. But it's all over for this season. They've now got to look ahead to next term and hopefully a much more successful campaign. And hope, even bigger hope is that they can bounce straight back up, but it certainly ain't going to be easy.
Well, as you say, I mean, the Highland League might be a sort of fruitful recruitment area for them if they can persuade people to come to Peterhead. But because, I mean, if you think about it, there's probably a few teams right now in the Highland League who could give Peterhead a scudding.
Oh, aye. Well, without question.
Yeah. Okay.
Without question.
In the juniors, Dave.
Yeah, well, first of all, congratulations to Cooter, who a week ago tonight, say, won at Colony Park to clinch the McBookie.com Premier League title. At the weekend, it was heartbreak for Hermes. They were 1-0 up down at Dundee North End, managed, of course, by Ken McNaughton in the Quest Engineering semi-final. Jack Craig opening the scoring after 20 minutes. Jamie Richardson levelled in 70. It looked as though penalties were on the cards until in the 93rd minute, a name that will be familiar to you, Andrew, Luke Bolan, headed home what proved to be the winner.
Just back from serious injury, Luke Bolan.
Yeah. So congratulations to him and to the Dee North End. And interestingly, they're playing against Carnoustie in the final, which of course is Phil Maguire's side. So an ex-Dons final in some respects. In the Premier League at the weekend, Bridget on Thistle 0, Maud 3, which is a bit of a surprise. Cooter 2, East End 1, Nairn St Mirren 1, Stonehaven 2, Stirling Park Vale 4, Dufftown 1, Championship, Aberdeen Uni 0, Lossiemouth United 0, Banks D 1, Longside 1, Everside 2, Sunnybank 3, Forest Assault 2, Newark United 1, Fraser United 7, Birkhead's Assault 0, Glentanner 6, New Elgin 2. In the Elginshire Cup quarter-final, Rothie Rovers 2, Isle of Vale 2, Isle of Vale winning 5-4 on spot kicks. Games tonight in Premier League, East End against Hermes, Colony Park Maud, Cooter at home to Stonywood Park Vale, Ellen United against Stonehaven. In the Championship, similar to last week, Sunnybank, if they win at Newmarket United, will go up to the Premier League as champions of the Championship. Leicester United play Isle of Vale and Rothie Rovers are at home to Buckinghaven Hearts. And then on Friday at Colony Park, it's the North Regional Cup final. But to give it its, see it's one of the last games of the season, we'll give it its full title.
Oh.
North Regional FA Regional Cup, sponsored by Domino's Pizza. Cooter against Rothie Rovers. And that's at Colony Park with a 7 o'clock kickoff, as are the games tonight.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. That is pretty much it for episode 80 of Pittodrie PS. We aim to publish every week on a Tuesday if we can. We'll always be looking back to the Dons' previous fixtures and ahead to the next. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. If you could rate some reviewers, tell us what you think of the show too. We'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.